Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm getting a bit nervous about the Prince Charles show.
Why?
Well, it's just like, we should come up with some stuff. I've got plenty of ideas of things we can do, so have you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just about getting it all down now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a wrestle-along.
Yeah.
Well, it's a wrestle-along screening.
See, I thought you were going to be more nervous about the live podcast that we do afterwards, which we also have not discussed what we're going to do yet.
Oh, I think I know what we can do for that.
Oh, well, that's all right.
We review the film.
Well, yeah.
Makes the most sense.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of doing as well. I was going to get some notes from the film as well, the notes of its release, and obviously all the controversy that surrounds it of Vince McMahon trying to block it.
And the finish of the film ends with Royal Rumble 1999 and the Mick Foley Rock match. That is a controversial match
Isn't
as well.
Just...
And, you know, the sort of concussion issues that stem from that.
And we can also do a Q&A with that.
Q&A?
It's really good that we can have these business meetings on the podcast.
Creative meetings. These aren't business.
These certainly are
not.
And
also, I think we should do a Where Are They Now?
Mm. Yeah, that's a good shout.
Because I just want to do the gag where, hey, this is Noelle Foley now.
Mm, yeah.
Feel awkward about that, guys. She was a kid in that movie, and now she looks like this.
But to build off from that Prince Charles cinema show, which does take place next Tuesday, yesterday, we had a competition to who is going to... Try that again. We held a competition for you to win 2 tickets to that show. And thank you to everyone who entered, who did answer the question. The correct answer was, of course... Terry Funk. Thank you to everyone who answered.
What was the question again?
Well, I've deleted it. It's not written down anywhere. But it was like who was one of the featured interviews? And it was Terry Funk, Terry...
Hatcher, Terry Crews.
And Terry Wogan.
Yes.
Yes. Sadly, someone did guess Terry Wogan, and that was incorrect. But everyone else got the right answer. So I can now announce that the winner... is Connor Curran.
Way.
Who is one of our pledge hammers.
Oh, the fix is in.
Well, you see, I thought this because I did pick a randomizer to pick a name out of a hat, an online one. And when it came up, I did think, oh, it's going to look really suspect that one of our pledge hammers wins. But to alleviate some of that potential blowback, people going like, oh, you only picked him because he's a pledge hammer. I guarantee you it was picked at random. To alleviate some of that blowback, I'm going to throw some shade at Connor. Why the heck haven't you bought a ticket already anyway?
Hey, yeah, that's a good point,
You're
Connor.
One of our pledge hammers. Why wouldn't you just could have come down regardless?
But as a serious note, if you do want a better chance at winning things with our competitions, also make sure you donate on Patreon.
So obviously very commiserations to anyone who entered but did not get tickets. Just come into the show anyway. It's going to be a right lark. Get your tickets today.
Mm.
Also following up from yesterday's show, our friend Zero.
Where should they get their tickets? They know.
From the Prince Charles Cinema website. It's princecharlescinema.com. Mm. Just search for Beyond the Mat and you'll be able to get your tickets there. If you become a member, you get discounts. And I would highly recommend becoming a member because it's the world's greatest cinema.
We're both genuinely members.
We are. We're lifetime members.
Lifetime members. And that was before. I've been going to that since I was about 20.
Oh,
that
brag.
Cinema. That's a decade. It's a decade of my life at that cinema. Isn't it nice that we get to plug things that we genuinely like?
I know.
Beer 52 and Prince Charles.
A follow-up as well from Zero Frank Amendola. He's the one who sent us that joke yesterday about the Manhattan car parking spot. So many thanks for using my joke. As I said, I didn't make it up. It's an old joke. The cost of a car park in Manhattan is more than an airport. It literally can cost several thousand dollars over the course of a month, and that's if you find parking lots many are filled. I am certain most Americans will get the points better than you guys. Definitely New Yorkers. I will look to redeem myself in the future. In the meantime, I'm reasonably sure Americans will comment on it. I can't really check them as I'm finally back to work after surgeries and the car accident, and I'm finally healed from. Thanks for the attention. That's from Frank. Thank you very much, Frank, for sending in a joke.
Speedy recovery.
A speedy recovery, indeed. Would you like
speedy recovery the best thing to say to someone who's been in a car accident?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. That's
have a quick recovery.
That's the same thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Have a recovery in a fireball of explode. Damn it! That's even worse.
Have a recovery behind the wheel of a car. Nope, that doesn't work either. Quick Rusev hey here from Joel. Ooh, quite the surname. Derazinski. Try that one.
Derazinski. Yeah, Derazinski.
We'll go with Derazinski. So this is a very, very good Rusev hey.
I'll be the judge of that.
Dear Luke and Ollie and Laurie and now even Andy, I have been a huge fan of WrestleTalk for a long time. It's become a part of my morning routine to watch you guys and listen to the podcast while in between classes at university. I greatly appreciate all the work you do, and also thank you for getting me into podcasts, as the Wrestle Ramble was the first podcast I started listening to. Now I listen to all sorts of different podcasts. Please let me know what those podcasts are, because if there's one thing in this world that I need, it's more podcasts for me to listen to. I enjoy Talking Simpsons so much as a podcast, I started to research whether there was a Friends version of Talking Simpsons. Turns out there isn't. There also isn't one for South Park or Stranger Things. Come on, guys, sort it out. Like, that's what I really want. Maybe I'll just do it myself.
If this was last year before you realised we don't have time to do any of this, I'm just going to make a Friends one.
Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, I've planned. Oh, God, I've had so many podcasts that I wanted to start, and I just do not have time. I wish I could be a pledgehammer, but I'm a poor university student and my dad still doesn't approve of me watching wrestling. You might think that would matter.
You're an adult.
You might think, why would that matter? But my dad is CFO at a bank that I use, so he will see all of my credit card transactions. Either way, I just wanted to say thank you so much to the WrestleTalk family for the smiles, laughs, and wrestling reviews and news that you provide. Now, here is the Rusev.
Okay.
I used to work as a ball boy at my local sports team, the Milwaukee Bucks.
They suck.
As the One Night in Milwaukee storyline, this story gets interesting. Mm. As part of my job, I would have to go and set up and distribute coolers of water bottles and Gatorade for the several different groups in the basketball game, like the dancers, halftime entertainment, etc. Sidebar, I always thought that just serving Gatorade, like, I'm sure Gatorade are a sponsor for like local sports teams or local sports team games, and that's why it has to be served. I just don't think it's very good for you, because I'm sure it's like 98% sugar.
But so is Lucozade. It's kind of like,
but
a,
I wouldn't do that either.
Performance. Yeah, but you're not playing high-stakes sports, are you?
Delicious, I'm sure, but like, I just don't think it's good for you.
You just want that glucose shot to your muscles.
Oh, yeah, it just sounds dreadful. Water, that'll do you fine. And he does deserve water bottles, I suppose. There was one in the locker room that was never used. It was there just in case we had a special guest. Most of the time, I could skip that room because there was never a special guest. However, one day, I noticed a random jersey from my local sports team on the door handle passing the special guest locker room. Confused, I took the jersey off the handle and opened the door to a great surprise. It was at this time that I thought maybe I should have knocked, because now I see a woman bent over looking around the locker room. The woman turns around and notices me holding the jersey and a cooler of Gatorade and water. Then I realize it's Charlotte Flair in a bra looking for the jersey I'm currently holding.
Whoa!
I immediately drop the jersey on the cooler, leave it there, and apologize greatly as I exit. Everything happened so fast, I thought to myself, was that really Charlotte Flair? I knew the Fast Lane was happening this Sunday in the arena, but this was Thursday. I went to my boss asking if we had a special guest tonight, and he said, oh yeah, it's some WWE person. I thought, holy cow, I just saw Charlotte Flair. in her underwear, no less. I continued on with my job that day, thinking to myself, if she sees me, it might be awkward. An hour later, I saw her at the end of the tunnel and I had to walk down. Festering up all the courage I had, I went up to her and deeply apologised. She was extremely kind and even said thank you because she had misplaced the local sports team jersey and couldn't find it. I told her I was a huge fan and I asked for a picture, and there is said picture.
Look at that.
Of Joel with Charlotte Flair.
That is awesome.
Yes.
That is that's a teenage dream, isn't it? To walk into a room and there is a scantily clad WWE
star.
Yeah, well, female star. It depends on your persuasion, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wow. So, if she was searching for the jersey...
Mm-hmm. Why was it on the door handle? I thought it would be on the door handle to say, don't come in here. You know, like you put a sock over the door handle to give an indication to your housemates, I'm up to some rumpy pumpy in my bedroom, don't come a knocking.
We didn't have that system.
No, you just walked in on each other.
We just all did it together.
In that house with the 25 women you live with, right?
Yeah. Messy. What is a jersey? A jersey isn't like a big thing.
It's DX. It's their top. Yeah, the right. DX one. Yeah.
Right, because over here, like a jersey is kind of like a big, jumper. Comfy, jumper, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, it's weird that she's just wearing a bra underneath a big, comfy jumper.
I'm sure that happens.
I'm sure it does, but you want the option if it gets too hot to remove the jumper.
That's very true, yeah.
That's my worst fear, that is.
Support WrestleTalk t-shirt underneath it. So thank you very much for that email. I'm sure... I don't know why we're doing that scenario. I mean, obviously, apart from apologise profusely, but I don't think I would then have the courage to walk up to someone afterwards and apologise again.
I'd hide.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would do. I would hide, and then I would just sit in my shame, and I would wait until the end of the day, and then I would email a podcast to read out my story, and so we could all share my shame together.
I might close the door, put a chair up against it, and run.
Yeah.
And because then she's trapped in there, I don't have to deal with it, and then I'll move to a different state.
Yep, quit my job, cancel my network subscription, and then sign up again under a different name in case she managed to find out who that person was and their network subscription. Yeah, no, I would do all of those things as well.
It's a rational response.
Absolutely. So, that is all we've got time for.
Can I tease something for the outro?
Go on then.
A funny Andy Datsun story.
So we are. So here is the podcast. We're kicking things off asking, are WWE going to turn Shane McMahon or Daniel Bryan heel? Here's the show.
After Crown Jewel and Shane McMahon, rightly, I think in all of our opinions, became crowned as the definitive best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Best at what? Who knows?
Wrestling, obviously.
Do you think?
Well, I'm pretty sure that's what it was there. It was to determine the best in the world.
I got nepotism.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was best in the world at nepotism.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's also an option. But clearly, it was the best in the world at wrestling.
Yeah, so he won that, and then he did such an extended, over-exuberant celebration afterwards. We all thought, well, this is kind of a heel celebration.
It was a celebration that went longer than Brock Lesnar's match with Braun Strowman.
So it went 5 seconds shorter. But it's close. It's close.
That's a mistake in my news yesterday, then.
We get to SmackDown, which was last night, obviously, in Manchester, pre-taped episode, so... I don't know if they tinker, because they can tinker with stuff a bit more on a pre-taped episode. If something goes wrong, they can refilm it. Sometimes they cut bits out. I remember it was a Bailey chant in Edinburgh or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd went on for about 6 minutes just going, hey, hey, a Bailey. And they cut out half of that. Here, they might have done the same to the CM Punk chants.
Yes, they might have. There were CM Punk chants because Paige opened up the show and she brought out Shane McMahon. Literally, like, it was, and now the best in the world, Shane McMahon, and Shane McMahon comes out. And there were sort of like some smattering of boos in there. And then there were.
Smattering?
Well, there were some boos there.
And Shane was heavily booed.
And then there were the CM Punk chants. But I would probably argue, because that was what the report was, that we were like, well, it was speculation that Shane could turn heel off the back of this World Cup win, hence the celebration, hence him being entered into a tournament he was never a part of and all this sort of stuff. And he would eventually, gradually, become more so arrogant that he believes the hype that he is the best in the world, and that will lead to a Shane McMahon heel turn, because heel authority figures, particularly McMahon's, are what WWE thinks are a ratings draw.
Not a bad motivation.
Not a bad motivation. Yeah. We actually speculated that on the Crown Jewel review ourselves. We thought this would actually be a very fun heel character. Him always walking around with the trophy, pointing at telling people, do you know I'm the best in the world? Yeah. I won a tournament. That
it's
sort of
infuriating
thing.
In the moment. But yes. Then, you know, if it transpires to become that, you're like, well, it's still bad booking, but at least we've got a fun Shane heel now.
But that doesn't appear to be the plan at all. Because Shane, the first thing that Shane said was like, it very humbly said, I know I'm not the best in the world. The boys in the back are the best in the world. I just wanted SmackDown to win. And the only way for SmackDown to win was if I inserted myself into the match, because they were just going to declare Dolph Ziggler the winner and Raw would win, and I didn't want that at all. So SmackDown had to win, therefore I had to be. But I'm not the best in the world. I really am not. Like, he was very upfront and honest about it. Which leads me to believe that there was never a plan to turn him heel off the back of this. That was just, it was done for a pop, I guess, in Saudi Arabia.
They did love it in Saudi.
They did, as was said, like, it got over with the crowd.
Yeah, it's not the way I would have gone with this storyline. It's not the way I think they should have gone, but they've gone there anyway.
Yes.
I think that's the story of WWE sometimes, isn't it?
Certainly in 2018.
So yeah, this is a... And Shane McMahon comes out on Paige. Like, Shane is getting... I thought he was unequivocally booed. Every time Shane...
Especially when he was posing with the trophy. Like when they brought the photographer in. Because I was up where I was like, this is definitely a heel thing.
Exactly. Paige was like, well, let me get you the trophy. And I was like, well, that's weird, because Paige is always the face here and she's helping this heel douchebag celebrate.
But she saw what he did for the best of the brand. Like she sees the good that Shane did and why he did it.
WWE have massively overestimated how much we like Shane McMahon. We were ready to turn on him.
Or how much we care about brand loyalty.
Yes. Yeah,
particularly when it comes
thing.
To Survivor Series.
Remember last year and SmackDown was invading Raw and...
Someone said to me, they sent me a message on Twitter this morning saying, oh, do you think they'll do Under Siege? I was like, mate, Survivor Series is next week. Like, there's no time for this. They haven't even announced a full Raw team yet.
Hashtag Under Siege. Hashtag 2017 flashback. Flashback Wednesdays there. So, yeah, that Paige presents Shane with the ridiculously sized, hideously designed trophy. And Shane poses with it. They even get, like, Paige is saying, let's get a photographer into the ring so we can get a shot of this.
Boo.
And the crowd are booing. This is when they start to chant CM Punk. Someone tweeted a video. It seemed a lot louder.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I can fully believe that.
So maybe they brought it down. Or sometimes the mics just don't pick up the sound very well, so it could have been louder in the moment.
Yeah, someone sent me a message on Twitter yesterday to say that there were Ooh Bailey chants during the Raw show yesterday, but he theorised that they just completely edited them out. But that, to me, was... I highly doubt that, because that would seem like the sort of thing that I mean, it's a babyface getting a babyface reaction. Those things, they tend not to edit out. They tend to edit out babyfaces getting heel reactions, though.
What do you make of this whole CM Punk thing? A lot of places are saying, well, we haven't even touched this as a story because I think it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
And that's pretty ridiculous for us to not touch a story.
We've worked with much less.
Yeah. And everyone's like, well, you know, best at this tournament had a tagline that was best in the world. CM Punk used to refer to himself as best in the world.
But so did Jericho.
He was the best in the world at what he did.
He still like used to say that he was the best in the world.
At what he did.
It's still... The words are still there.
I know what you mean.
Pritchard.
But this is... That they think it's going to turn into like some CM Punk return to feud with Shane McMahon. I've seen people make videos where they're half serious about this.
Talk about things I don't want to see. Like, if I want... if
That's
CM Punk,
the way you bring him Punk, like, bring like, back Punk.
If
yeah.
CM Punk is coming back to WWE, a feud with Shane McMahon is not what I want from that.
No.
Absolutely not.
It's not what I would have done. It's not what I think they would have done. So let's just put all the, just mention the punk stuff to move it aside.
Yeah.
But this was, yeah. So to answer the question, is Shane turning heel? It very much looks like a no.
Yeah.
So.
Or is it a gradual thing? Because.
But there were no seeds sown here.
Though. Well, no, I would say that like the next scene after this, the next segment after this, because he names Miz and Daniel Bryan as the co-captains for Team SmackDown at Survivor Series because he really wants the blue brand to win. Because Shane McMahon's about the only person who really cares about this SmackDown Raw feud or rivalry or whatever the hell it is or isn't.
He cared so much about the last time Raw and SmackDown went head-to-head in direct competition, Friday, that he was going to fire one of his top... Raw never put anything like that on the line.
He really cares about this, and he is about the only person who does.
He's a psychopath.
But so he's backstage with Miz and Bryan, and they say, he's like, hey, you know, we need the best on our team. We need you on our team.
Yeah, so Miz says that, yeah.
So maybe it's these sorts of seeds. So, like, Shane is going to start off this journey being like, look, guys, look, I know I'm not the best in the world. But enough people like Miz and Paige and a few other people start saying, like, no, you are. Maybe we're going to see this gradual, like, not slow realization, but this sort of gradual of this moment of him going like, maybe I am. Maybe I am the best in the world. That's why I won the tournament.
It's possible. I think the way WWE would approach this is they don't have the patience for that. They would have followed up from Crown Jewel, I think, if this is one of their big stories. If it was a lower story, yeah, sure, they'll forget, and then in 3 weeks' time they'll bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a McMahon. You tell those stories well.
Well, he's one of their top stars.
Exactly. So yeah, this is Shane makes both Bryan and Miz co-captains. Originally it was just Bryan, but Miz comes out. Still selling the ankle injury, which I appreciated.
Well done, Miz.
He's the only guy who's ever sold anything.
Owens.
Oh, yeah, Owens does it.
Yeah.
And then Shane, like, has one word in Paige's ear, and he goes, we've just decided we're going to make you both captains. That fell so flat.
So flat. The crowd didn't react to that whatsoever. Like, and considering the crowd were reacting to everything else up until that moment. But that announcement just fell completely flat. I did really like Miz in this segment, though. He came out and said, like, hey, I mean, I won 2/3 of the matches in that tournament. Good. So really, I'm 2/3 the best in the world. Maybe we need to arrange who's going to have the trophy. I've got loads of master bedrooms I can put it in and things like that. And he said, like, he called themselves co-besties.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh.
So that, and so it doesn't look like they're turning Shane heel. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where it comes into the other half of the title of this video. And this co-Brian and Miz team is the other side of things. Are they doing the wrong thing again and turning Brian heel instead of Shane?
That's what you want to see, right? It's Daniel Bryan turn heel.
Beloved organic baby face who is so credible and I believe everything he says.
Yeah.
That's the heel.
Yeah, totally. We can then build to Shane versus Brian at WrestleMania with heel Brian and baby face Shane. It'll be just like babyface Charlotte versus heel Becky. It'll work the exact same dynamic.
Yeah. So they have the skip backstage where Shane McMahon, boo, every time he's on screen, the crowd boo him. It's brilliant. And then he says, I can't be in the team. He does play it up humbly. But then Miz and Bryan do agree. And then there's quite a cute bit, and they do this a few times in the show.
I thought this was really nice stuff, yeah.
Where they both realise that they acknowledge this was a good idea. And then that's weird.
That's weird.
And they walk off.
There's a moment later when they're smiling at each other. They both go like, yeah, that's a really good idea. And they just stare and smile at each other for ages. And then she's like, no, this is weird. We should stop doing this.
It was perfectly acted.
So good.
It's just, you know, just to always come in with a bit of
And it was like
criticism.
A really nice moment of like Miz was taking a selfie backstage.
Yeah.
And Brian, like a friend would, like photobombed and be like, hey, girl, we're like buds. And then afterwards like, oh no, you're a dick and we don't like each other. And then it would just sort of go off in their separate directions. I thought the pair of them played this really, really well throughout the show. And that then escalated into the final segment of the show when they're both on commentary.
Mm.
Because Brian wants to pick Mysterio for the team, but Miz says, ah, well, who's Mysterio ever beaten? And Brian says, well, you, for one. And Miz is like, that was just a fluke. Just like a fluke when you beat me at Super Showdown. Well, I'll tell you what, if Ray can beat Almas tonight, he can be on the team. But how about we both pick a guy, and then they'll have the main event, and the winner of that will be the final member of the team. So that builds this main event, and it was Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy. Brian picked Jeff Hardy, terrible choice, and Miz picked Joe, a much better choice. And that played off the angle from last week with Joe choking out Brian after the match. And Miz so smugly, just like regressing right back to this complete dick roll, was like, I mean, you're going to be okay with him, aren't you? Like, I mean, I know he choked you out last week and really embarrassed you and upstaged you, but we've got to work together on the same team. Like, you know, it's for the good of SmackDown. And I thought it was really nice. And that played up into commentary and then the final angle.
Yeah, Miz and Bryan were so good on commentary.
Yeah, so good.
Because the Hardy-Joe match wasn't really anything.
No, it was all about the post-angle.
Yeah, but those two made this very watchable as they were bickering back and forth. Bryan's excellent on commentary, as is Miz.
Yeah.
Put them together and they're warring across. I mean, you don't really need the other three guys on there, the usual announce team.
There was an amazing moment during their bickering where Daniel Bryan was talking about, like, you know, how Miz is rubbish. And then Miz has this incredible comeback where he's like, I've already led a team at Survivor Series to victory and I was the sole survivor. And in my head, I was like, did you? Where?
Sure.
Yeah, it was like, sure. Like, it probably has happened, but I can't tell you what year that would have been or who else was on the team or who he was facing against.
I appreciated that Brian really got over, because I was like you with Jeff Hardy. Ugh. Jeff again, who just lost in the World Cup and he's lost loads since. But Brian Getover was like, he did a really impassioned speech on commentary saying, we need a risk taker. Jeff's the guy who's going to take the risks. And I was like, you're selling me on Jeff Hardy here, Brian.
Particularly when he's saying this, when Jeff is as slowly as possible stumbling around the barricade to do a half-hearted dive. Really don't think Jeff's heart's in this at the moment.
I think, like, yeah, he's been on autopilot.
Even his delete chance, like he's not even doing it properly.
But anyway, at the end, Joe gets the knees up for the Swanton Bomb and he transitions it awesomely into a Coquina Clutch. Jeff taps.
Remember when Jeff said he was going to take time off because his back was really hurting?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what, I'll do a Swanton and Joe can get his knees up right into my lower back where all the pain is.
So Joe then goes to the outside and he gets right into Brian's face, but brilliantly... He doesn't get his face up into Brian's face. It's just Joe's stomach.
And Joe's just standing there, arms in the air, cheering, like a SmackDown 2 on the PlayStation celebration. It was perfect, because he's going, like, I'm brilliant.
Yeah, and Brian's seated at the desk, so his face is, like, his nose is touching the belly button. And Brian's like, well, I've had enough of this. And with the context of last week when Joe attacked him, I fully bought into, this wasn't, it was irrational, but I bought into it. So they brawl for a bit. But then Miz like gets him into the yes lock in the ring. But Miz, kind of like, not as a heel, I felt. And there have also been rumours that Miz might turn face.
Mm-hmm.
And Miz comes in, he's like, whoa, Brian, hold off. And Brian like starts wailing on Miz after that. And I felt sorry for the Miz.
Yeah.
That takes some doing.
And you're meant to, I think the idea that WWE were going for here is you're meant to be like, oh, I'm because I'm watching SmackDown, I want Team SmackDown to win. Oh no, there's cracks in this team, and it's Brian's fault. Brian's the one that's starting all of these cracks. Because Shane McMahon then comes down and he pulls Brian off, and Brian just sort of hip tosses him and he storms to the back.
He doesn't really see him. Like, I think Shane grabs him on the shoulder and just lashes out and it sends Shane down. But yeah, then Brian walks up the ramp very angrily.
Absolutely. And it's kind of like, so I thought this was a terrific episode of SmackDown. I gave it a SmackDown rating.
Whoa, 5 out of 5.
But with a caveat, it was a low SmackDown because I do not want to reward panic booking. Because this show felt like panic booking. This show was like, they went into the office and they're like, what should we do on SmackDown? Oh, it's Survivor Series next week. Great. Well, we need to do everything on this show then. It reminded me of that Raw episode during the invasion. That Raw episode during the invasion when they brought ECW into it. And in that show, ECW debuted during the invasion. Paul Heyman got off commentary and announced that he was leading ECW. A load of the WWF guys turned heel and joined this ECW faction, and then Team WWF and Team WCW had to align themselves so they could face off against Team ECW, and it led to this big battle, and then Team WCW turned on Team WWF and they formed the alliance, and they announced that Stephanie McMahon had bought ECW and she came down to the ring, and they all celebrated and things like that. And that all happened in the last 30 minutes of the show. And Brian Alvarez summed it up perfectly. It was like, it was months worth of storylines done in one show. And this episode of SmackDown felt like 4 weeks worth of storylines done in 1 2-hour slot. Yeah. So yes, it was a very fun and chaotic show, but holy heckins did it feel like it was just so rushed and so crammed into it. So why should I care about Brian turning on this Team SmackDown when the team really had only been formed 40 seconds prior?
Totally. It's Natalia's sunglasses.
Exactly.
It's like a Chekhov's gun, yeah. Natalia's sunglasses.
Care about this now.
It is a shame because the Brian Miz buddying up thing had so much potential. And again, to throw a bit of water on that, that shouldn't be now. Like, that should be in a year's time after this epic blood feud. And then they go away from each other for 6 months. And now they have to come together. And they're like, oh, maybe we can get past our differences. But then, yeah, you're right. Like, then you have 2-3 weeks of them starting to work together. The tension starts to thaw between them.
You slowly build this, like, smiling. Like, that smiling moment you do, say, week two. And you're like, well, that was weird.
Yeah.
And then week three, you do the photo bombing bit, where like, and that's how they enter into this episode, being like, oh, I think we're friends now. Did we just become best friends?
Yeah. Miz gets him a captain jacket. Yeah. I've got a matching one. Yeah, oh, exactly, cool. Yeah.
You build this up over weeks and weeks and weeks, but here it was just like, you're captains, now you're friends, now you're feuding. It was really, really, like, it was so rushed.
So that's why that Brian sort of rage, although you've got the Joe feud, felt a bit out of nowhere, felt rushed, and it does make me worried that they might turn Brian heel off the back of all this.
Can you imagine?
Like, there's not a nut that this was in no way a heel turn.
No,
it was just
absolutely not.
You know, it was just a guy lashing out at Joe, but yeah.
Wrestle Ramble is taking over the Prince Charles Cinema on November 13th, 2018 for a live podcast recording, along with a special screening of one of the greatest wrestling documentaries of all time, Beyond the Mat.
Since you are able to regurgitate, you know, on command, it just seems to me that it's pretty logical that you should be puke.
Ollie L. Fakedor and myself will be in attendance to watch the film and meet everyone who comes along, as well as record a live episode of the podcast with your Q's and our A's.
You make it sound like you don't even want to live.
There's times I know. There's a lot of times I know.
But this won't just be any old screening of Beyond the Mat. No, no, no. This will be a wrestle-along screening. We want to create the atmosphere of a wrestling show inside the cinema screen. That means that we want you to bring your signs, bring your costumes, and bring your chants.
He's got a puke! He's got a puke!
It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to meet you all there. That's November 13th at the Prince Charles Cinema in London. Wrestle-along screening of Beyond the Mat, along with a live podcast record of Wrestle Ramble. Tickets are available now from PrinceCharlesCinema.com, but they are going fast.
Gave up Wall Street for. Wall Street wasn't fun. Wrestling is fun.
That's PrinceCharlesCinema.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So SmackDown kicked off with the Paige and Shane McMahon misjudged World Cup trophy presentation. Miz and Bryan are announced as co-captains. And then we got a bit of a treat.
We certainly did.
The Usos versus... This what, you know, you said this was a SmackDown show.
Yeah.
I disagree. But the wrestling, for a change, although it wasn't like pay-per-view caliber, all the wrestling was like really solid and
really
I enjoyed
good.
A lot.
Yeah, and this match in particular was really, really good. I mean, it's the New Day versus Usos. Like, it would be almost impossible for them to have a bad match together. And even if they had like constrained time, they would work it so well. I think they'd gel together perfectly.
Well, I can't. It's weird because like chemistry is such an intangible thing. I can't point to any bit and go, that's why these two teams work together so well. When the New Day entered the feud with the Bar, I was like, cool, we're going to get some Usos New Day level matches. And although those, like, some of those were pretty good, there's just, this is on another level. And I don't know what the difference is.
Exactly. This feud is on the Neville level.
Yeah, these, like, Usos and the New Day, I don't know whether it's timing or because they work together so much or if their move sets sync up really well. Oh, I loved it.
And it was such a fun match, but importantly, crucially, this was for the captaincy of the SmackDown of the Survivor Series tag team 10-on-10 match.
Yes, that's happening.
I think because they just announced it, and I was like, "Oh, cool! So we're getting that match at Survivor Series." Again, it's that panic booking thing of just like, "We need some of the tag teams to do. They can do this." Also, in the opening segment, they announced that it's going to be AOP versus the Bar at Survivor Series, which we all sort of figured after yesterday's Raw, or Monday's Raw, I should say.
It's weird because all of these Survivor Series matches are technically things you could have built earlier.
Yes,
because they're cross-brand matches.
Yep.
They don't interfere with the Crown Jewel pay-per-view.
Absolutely not.
So, it's...
So the Usos and New Day had this match for the captaincy role. So now, that means next week, we're going to have to find out who all of the Raw tag teams are going into this match and the rest of the SmackDown tag teams because they only announced that New Day are going to be on the team. We don't know who else is going to be on the team.
But we're missing two people from the Raw men's and... all of them from the Raw Women's.
And it may even be three, because Corey Graves said on commentary, Braun Strowman hasn't officially had added himself to the Survivor Series match. He didn't agree to be a part of it, so we don't know if he's going to be part of that team. So it may be three names they need to announce next week.
Get Bobby Roode on the blower.
Well, no,
Finn Balor, what are you doing?
Bobby's going to have to be in the tag team one, like him and Chad Gable.
Yeah.
Probably with the Ascension.
No, that's what Lucha House Party are for.
Yeah, I suppose Loser House Party and Revival are going to have to be there.
Don't call them that.
Gallows and Anderson might get a pay-per-view spot.
I genuinely forgot they existed. there's some great spots in this match. There was a... Usos tried to do a double suplex off the apron on Kofi to the outside, but Big E runs through and just does that thing I usually hate, and it does look like he's going to break his neck one day. But Big E spears an Uso through the ropes. They clatter on the announcers.
Oh, it was so good. Because like they built up these spots of the Usos taking out Big E, and then you got to see that super serious Big E that we haven't really seen since that Usos feud when he had those like get serious son moments. And he did. He got all fired up and he charges across the ring, running as fast as he possibly can to do this spear. It was absolutely awesome. Kofi Kingston did like the big trust fall from the top of the turnbuckle to the floor on the outside. It was amazing stuff. Really, really cool.
And the finish was really good as well. It's remarkable how many matches these guys have had and they're still coming up with different spots like this. Because there's like three here that really stand out in my mind. Those two and the finish, which was Jimmy's on the second rope. Kofi goes to do a hurricanrana, but Jimmy just kind of holds him there and does this beautiful powerbomb off the second rope, runs round, splash for the win.
So good. And then after the match, they were like, we love you, Oos. You know, be on our team. So it's going to be New Day and the Usos are going to be part of the SmackDown versus Raw tag team. I didn't really want to call it. Like, it's an elimination match, I guess.
Yeah. And the bar are shown nodding backstage like, yes.
Yep.
Future challengers.
Match. Because you can only have one storyline going at once. So, it'd be hard for them to also have a storyline going into Survivor Series.
Then we got the Miz and Bryan stuff, which set up the Rey match.
I did like Miz on the phone plugging Marine 6 and being like, oh, cool, yeah, you know, you're looking for other actors. Wait, Becky? You want Becky? Really, really nice. Putting over that idea that Becky is the best.
Segwaying into Becky being the best.
So Becky's backstage wearing a Ronda Rousey t-shirt that she then just rips apart to reveal her own t-shirt that says The Man. And then she just looks, oh, she's
Is that the debut of that t-shirt?
No, she wore it last week well. She's worn it since Evolution because that's when she was walking back up the ramp shouting, I am the man.
And figuratively.
Figuratively. Yeah. She is just the best. She carries herself like such a star. Already she's like head and shoulders above a lot of the women in WWE. And now it's even better because you haven't got Tom Phillips and Byron Sack to go like, oh, she's a rotten. Oh, she's a proper rotter her. She turned her back on her best friend. They're just saying Becky is a badass. And it works so much better this way because they've not changed anything about Becky's character. If anything, they're accentuating this character. And it's so much more enjoyable to watch now you haven't got the babyface commentators trying to pretend she's a heel.
Yeah, totally. She's just been presented like a babyface. Well, she's not presented like a babyface. Mm. She's just presented like this is the character.
Yeah.
Make up your own mind.
Absolutely.
And because what happens is Nikki Cross debuts. And she's also like, they've said, make up your minds. Because she has a kind of heel element to her, but also a face thing because she's so wacky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you've got these two characters just playing off each other. Felt like that's the Attitude Era.
Yeah. So Becky comes out and she cuts this promo on Ronda, addressing the points that Ronda made yesterday. And she was like, you're not the baddest woman on the planet, but I'm going to make you my bitch and things like that. And it was very, very cool.
That was a money line.
It was a money,
it
money
was
line.
A fantastic promo, the way she delivered it. Like, I got CM Punk chills.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd amazing. Should have chanted Becky. What, Becky Lynch? I don't know. But she just captivates me. And I really believe, like, I think this is the most significant thing. I believe what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important thing, really, in predetermined pro wrestling.
Yes, that's the line you've got it written there, which is like, if you're the baddest bitch on the planet, I'm going to make you mine at Survivor Series. That's it's so, so great.
And she also said, like, Ronda was like, you know, when you were going to clown college, I was winning the Olympic judo, whatever she did. And Becky's like, yeah, okay, well, make fun of all the things I did to grind my way through. You've never had a real challenge because you've just, you know, come in off that level.
Yeah.
I've been ground down throughout my life. I thought it was such a good promo.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
And then she got so fired up from this, she added this open challenge.
Mm.
And she was like, anyone out the back who wants to come and fight the man, you could do so. Sanity's music hit, and in my head I was like, it's going to be Nikki Cross. And Sanity come out, and here comes Nikki Cross. And Nikki Cross, obviously, she's Scottish, and this is in England, so they got the great British reaction at the very least. And it was a really, really nice pop for Nikki, and they got there. And she was brilliantly Nikki. She was brilliantly Nikki Cross saying, like, let's have fun, let's have fun, let's have fun.
Let's play.
Let's play, let's play, let's play. So it was really, really cool, and that led to a match between Becky Lynch and Nikki Cross. Now, this wasn't a main roster call-up for Nikki Cross, I don't think.
Oh, you think it was just...
I think it was the same as the
local crowd.
I think it was the Pete Dunne thing. Mm. You know when Pete Dunne had that match with Enzo?
Yes.
I think that was more what this was. It was just here to be... Because she's on the tour with them. Because she's always on SmackDown house show loops. So it just... Like, she's there. Let's do the home... Well, not the hometown pop. Not even the home country pop. But your collection of countries pop, I guess.
I never thought of it like that. But that is kind of, especially the way she tapped into this armor. It was a very definitive way to beat someone on their main roster debut.
Exactly, yeah. So although this is a main roster debut for Nikki, I don't think this was an official call-up. Yeah, as you say, particularly because she tapped out to the disarmament. Like, if I was debuting Nikki Cross, like, as a main roster call-up, first thing I'm doing is not have her tap out in her first match.
Yeah, well, that's, like, it's the first match thing that's the problem. I like people tapping out. I think that should be a finish more often, but just not on your first go.
Yeah, absolutely. But this was a really good match, and it was there to kind of show off Nikki, really. Becky did such a good job in, you know, allowing Nikki to have all of her spots and get some near falls in there as well. And I thought it was actually really, really good. It was a good showing for Nikki, even with the tap.
I read a joke on Reddit. Can't remember who wrote it. They said, so does this make Sanity a three-man valet team?
Well, Sanity weren't there.
They come out when their entrance music's hit, but then they all just step aside and Nikki Cross comes out and then they leave.
Yeah, they disappear. They Thanos
away. That's
wave.
Not their gimmick.
I know.
They should be at, like, I was hoping, I thought they were going to finish it because I was thinking, how are they going to end this match by keeping both people strong? I thought Sanity were going to just rush in and call it all off.
Nope, afraid not, mate. No, Sanity. Nah. Although Sanity may get
the referee just stared down Becky afterwards.
Well, Sanity, you're likely going to get a pay per view shot because there is that tag team thing, and they need to fill up tag teams on it. It'll be on the pre-show
because nothing says Sanity like brand loyalty and in a team with other tag teams.
Absolutely. What a successful call up Sanity has been.
So hopefully Nikki will be better if she's even.
Yeah, she
so
will.
Then we got some Miz and Bryan stuff where they.
She's busy on NXT, man. She's got. Mm. She's involved in too many things there.
Where they set up Jeff Hardy and Samoa Joe, and then we got a Shinsuke Nakamura promo, which was really good. It's a shame he's not around. About how sad Seth Rollins' life is, with all his best friends leaving him, and he's doing like his Nakamura. Oh, pouty face. Says, but I'll make you forget all about it with a knee to face.
Nakamura is great.
Yeah.
Yep. Still hasn't had a storyline, and this doesn't count before anyone says this is a storyline. It's not.
But speaking of great...
Oh, this was great.
And arguably, like, possibly underused. Rey Mysterio took on Andrade Cien Almas, which was a match that, of course, was going to happen. I just completely forgot it was possible.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as it was announced and they came out, I was really, really excited. Zelina Vega wasn't there. Cole said it's because she was attending other matters. I've written Cole. I mean Todd Phillips. Oh, they sound so similar.
No, they don't. Cole sounds like he has a bit of personality about him. Tom Phillips, as we said last week, may as well be a speak and spell.
Yeah. And so, but apparently she's got a concussion.
That she suffered.
That's what PW Insider claim. When she was eliminated at the Evolution Battle Royal by Nia Jax, that's where she might have picked it up.
Okay.
So she's been kept off the European tour.
I just thought they didn't want to fly her out. Like, that was my first thought.
It's like, budget
cuts. I was going to say, that's an expensive ticket we just don't need to have.
Oh, they're coming off Crown Jewel. Yeah. Don't want to re.
Did you see all that pyro? Oh, it's pricey, mate.
But I think this match was better without Vega, because as much as I love NXT Vega and Almas, I'm not sure I love main roster.
We haven't really had that Vega and Almas team yet on the main roster. It's just been, Vega has been there, but really so has Almas.
To do like the Tranquilo pose in the middle.
And it's a shame. I mean, I said this in my review as well, that like this match again was designed to put over Almas and like have a really good showing. Even in defeat, Almas looks really, really good. But we've had that with AJ, and we've had that with Daniel Bryan, and it's just got to the point now where I'm like, either do something with him or don't, because you can't just keep doing this. Like, well, he looked really good in defeat. He's like, yeah, but he keeps losing, and he hasn't had a storyline since he got here, so why should I care?
So if he's losing to those three top guys, which he has, okay, but in the months in between, have him win over everyone else. Ty Dillinger's, R-Truth's, yeah.
Anyone.
Well, non-title matches against, you know, against Nakamura, I don't know. But yeah, it's not, like, Almas has not been treated the way he should have been on the main roster.
Absolutely not.
But this match was really, really good. Just loads of inventive bits.
Yeah.
Rey feels rejuvenated.
There was a spot during this match that I would very much struggle to describe, in which they, in a sort of powerbomb position, they kind of, like, Rey's trying to Hurricane Rana Almas to the outside. But in doing so, they still both land with Alma standing up and Ray on his shoulders.
Yeah.
It was like mind-bogglingly cool. And then Alma tries to do a move that Ray reverses into a Hurricane Rana into the apron. It was
into the apron.
It was so good. Like, it was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so that, and that was off of Almas's always impressive spot where he hits the moonsault, but he lands on his feet because the person's rolled out the way, and he hits an immediate other moonsault standing to hit them. But yeah, that Hurricane Rana into the apron. So they're outside the ring. Ray's feet drive Almas's head into the corner of the apron. It looked great.
Yeah.
And then Ray is right back in the ring and does this baseball slide into another Hurricane Rana.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
And you're right. We've said it before that Ray's had a really great 2018, but this match is almost like sort of like a great example of how good Ray can be. And it was a really good showing for Almas. As I say, he's had a lot of good showings on SmackDown, and yet here we are, still nothing to do with, like, it's nothing for him to do. He's not a part of Survivor Series. He's not on Team SmackDown. Has he had a pay-per-view? I mean, he's probably had kickoff matches. But those were kickoff shows, right?
Yeah, I can't remember.
He hasn't had like anything on the actual card yet.
Mm.
So, I mean, neither of Sanity, neither of the Iconics, and they're not part of this either. It's been SmackDown have done a really awful job with their NXT call-ups. I know, like, that really.
It's Raw.
So I know that's like water is wet, but like I think SmackDown have done worse than Raw have.
Raw had Drew McIntyre. Is that an NXT call-up? Or is it a WWE return?
Yeah, I mean, at least AOP are their tag team champions.
Oh, that's a good point. I forgot about them. Almas looked great
in
this
match.
Ray is celebrating afterwards, but Orton hits an RKO from out of nowhere.
Which, again, furthers that point that Almas was not the thing for you to remember in this match. It's all about Ray and Randy.
Mm.
So, cool.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
Yes.
Feud. And it's... Where was the cool Orton that we were enjoying as a bad guy a few months ago? Then we got some Girl Up stuff.
Yeah, we didn't mention this in yesterday's Raw. I actually forgot about it until I watched SmackDown this morning. And I was like, oh yeah, they played this video yesterday. I was just waiting for you to get really annoyed about it.
Well, no kayfabe was broken apart from Stephanie McMahon exists in a world beyond kayfabe.
Well, she's a babyface in these roles.
Yeah, she plays a bad guy on TV.
Yeah.
But she was on TV. Why wasn't she giving young girls body issues? So this was, yeah, it's just the WWE's latest
PR thing.
Be a star. But it's to young girls because they want young girls to... Yeah.
Because girls have not done sports yet. Mm. But wrestling, WWE in particular, is really leading the charge on that.
It's very hollow.
Anyway, AJ Styles celebrated the fact that he's been WWE champion for a whole year by not being on TV and instead just cutting a backstage promo on Brock Lesnar.
Mm.
Because, again, this is panic booking. Ah, we need to do something for Survivor Series. Cut a promo. Just say you're going to win.
It was, yeah. And he won the title in Manchester.
Right?
Which is where they were this week.
Yep.
Ah, come on, guys.
He'd said that he gave Brock his all in their match, but it wasn't enough. But this time he promises he's going to win. It was a promo. It's a shame that we didn't really get anything for AJ this show. But again, it was panic booking. There was so much more else that we needed to do in this one show that there just was not room for an AJ segment.
Like announcing the entire SmackDown women's team.
This segment, I was there thinking like, A, we are running low on time on this show. Are they going to do anything for the women? But B, in my head, I'm also thinking, SmackDown have done a really good job. Granted, it's a very rushed job, but done a really good job in making the men's team feel like it's based on in-ring victories. It's based on storylines. It's based on these sort of personal animosities. It's based on these characters. And even the tag team thing that just got randomly announced, at least they had a match for the captaincy. What are they going to do for the women? Oh, Paige is just going to come out and say, these are the women.
It was standing in a row.
Oh,
levels.
Wasn't it just? Yeah. It was like, and they really were all standing around. I didn't actually use that in the review because I was just so captivated by how pants this was. Mm. I didn't even acknowledge them all standing in a row.
It wasn't completely pants.
It wasn't completely pants, but it was creatively pants.
Yeah, there would have been a better way to line up these teams. So Paige is the captain, I guess? Or is she the general manager?
She's the general manager because she asked Charlotte last week to be the captain, but Charlotte said, I don't think I should be the captain at the moment. And crucially,
so then who's the captain?
I think Paige still wants it to be Charlotte. But bearing in mind, Charlotte didn't come out here. Mm. She announces Charlotte is part of the team, but Charlotte doesn't come out before that. So,
but let's go through who came out first. So she said Carmella.
Why?
Who comes out with R-Truth. Former WWE SmackDown Women's Champion, well, Carmella.
I agree with Mandy Rose on her thoughts on Carmella.
Naomi. Former Women's Battle Royal Uterus Trophy Cup winner.
Former Women's Champion. Former two-time SmackDown Women's Champion.
That was this year. Was it this year or was that last
year? That was last year.
Sonya Deville.
That genuinely surprised me.
Yeah.
Like, it really did, because she was announcing these people, and I was like, okay, Carmella, I guess that makes sense, Naomi. Yeah, I guess, okay. I guess Asuka's next then. And then she announces Sonya Deville, and I was like, huh, okay, fair enough.
Someone's going to get eliminated first.
Well, no, because this is, I mean, I don't want to shock you here, a storyline.
Mm.
It is now two women's storylines happening on this show. I think.
Calm down, SmackDown.
Because, yeah, Sonya Deville comes out, and then Asuka's the fourth, and then she announces Charlotte Flair, but Charlotte Flair doesn't come out. Instead, Mandy Rose comes out. The Vaseline appears on the thing.
Quickly wiped off. Quickly,
quickly wiped off. And she comes down to the ring.
Is it Vaseline?
Who knows what it is?
Corey Graves does get excited.
Corey Graves, like, he calls her God's greatest creation. I was like, I mean, I think she's just the most forgettable woman. She does nothing for me. Absolutely. She is generic pretty blonde. That is how I see Mandy Rose. Very, very pretty. Like, that is undeniable. And she is obviously got she's got everything there. But she does very little for me. You know, that's just me.
That might be the most controversial thing you ever said. You once said you hate dogs.
I know, but I clarified that saying, like, dogs are not for me. So maybe dogs and Mandy Rose are just not for me.
Oh, jeez. So, yeah, Mandy Rose comes out, and she's it seems like she's jealous of Sonya, is what I got.
And she's jealous that Paige didn't pick her. She's like, hey, Paige, what's going on here? Why have you picked? And then she had this amazing line to Carmella, where she's like, Carmella, like, you're... Dance breaks are just like your title reign, short and meaningless. And I was like, yeah, Mandy Rose instantly became my favourite person. I was like, yes, Mandy Rose, you're right. It was pointless, wasn't it?
She called Asuka the Empress of Tomorrow when you're yesterday's news. These were all good lines.
Well, that was a rubbish line.
I thought that was okay. And then to Naomi, she was like, something about glow.
I didn't get this line.
I don't know, but sometimes, I don't fully understand what you're going for there, but it sounds like I should go... Ooh!
Like, our Discord channel was like, that was the most PG-13 WWE have done in ages. I think they're leaning towards a PG-13 mode. And I was like, what? I didn't know what I guess she was referring to a sex thing, but
take
she was
a
like,
cold shower, Discord.
But she was like, does anyone feel the glow? Like your husband? I'm like, well, what does glow mean?
Yeah, well, blowjobs. I think the glow jobs. Yeah, glow jobs. But I liked it. I thought Mandy did okay here.
I thought
it was good material,
very good material, and she did very well with that material.
And then, like, they all attack her because she's being nasty, and she's only, you know, moderately attractive.
She's no Asuka, is all I'm saying.
Is it that Sonya pulls them off?
Sonya pulls Mandy Rose off, and then they have sort of an awkward stare down.
Yeah.
Where, like, it was almost like Sonya was like, dude, just be happy for me that I'm on this team. And Mandy Rose was there going like, well, no. And I mean, can you believe they're going to split up this iconic tag team in the SmackDown Women's Division?
Hey, what a year it's been for Absolution. It's almost, I think it was the end of November 2017 they debuted. Paige returned. Paige is now retired from in-ring competition. And Sonya and Mandy look to be breaking up. And for more depressive stuff, Asuka got three eliminations last year and was the sole survivor in the Survivor Series women's match.
I nearly said Michael Cole there. Tom Phillips was bringing this up on commentary, and I just thought to myself, man alive, what a dreadful job this company has done with Asuka since coming to the main roster. Like, how can you get this wrong? It's the easiest thing in the world. And you got it right so well at the start.
But yeah, Charlotte did not come out. And this builds on her being despondent last week. Mm-hmm. Maybe... And this is another potential babyface heel turn we haven't talked about. I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte goes heel.
Could be possible.
Mm. But overall, you gave it a SmackDown.
Oh, got it. We're at the end of the show.
Yes, Jeff and Joe.
Yeah, you're right. So we are at the end of the show. Well, I gave it a SmackDown. As I said, like, going back to that Raw analogy I had earlier with that ECW episode, That episode is chaotic and ridiculously stupid, given how much material there was you could have got out of a WWF versus WCW versus ECW. Like, you could have run that for months and months, but they were like, nope, let's just all do it in 30 minutes. But that show is very, very memorable. And
this is better.
And I loved it. I loved it at the time. I could go back now and watch it and be like, this is just bonkers madcap, and I love it. It is panic booking, but I very much enjoyed it. This was a show where we had really good wrestling. We had very good in-ring segments. I loved Becky's promo. I loved the Daniel Bryan Miz stuff. And we've always said, you know, as long as you got three really good things on that show, and this is a two-hour show, it flew by. Mm. I was never at any point bored. In fact, the only thing I didn't like on there was the just announcing the SmackDown women's team. But I did like Mandy Rose in that segment. I really liked Sonya Deville in that segment. And I liked, actually, some of the stuff that was coming out of it, including the intriguing Charlotte Flair stuff that wasn't really played up. So it was a really, really excellent show. It was a 5 out of 5 show. But with that caveat, it's a low 5 out of 5 because you do not want to reward panic booking.
I think it's a good show. I would have given it SmackDown.
So negative. You're so negative. You're so hard to please.
But although I enjoyed all, like, pretty much the entire show, and some bits were really good, like, I wouldn't say any of them are memorable. I'd just say they're very good.
I don't know, man. I thought the Usos New Day match was excellent. I thought the Rey Almas match was excellent.
They were really good. They weren't excellent.
Well, they were, considering the wrestling we've been getting on SmackDown as of late. Remember last week? Remember the main event of last week?
I don't want to compare it on that bar, though.
Remember the main event of last week? The main event of the week before? At least now we're getting some good wrestling on this show. And that's what I want from SmackDown. And one of my big criticisms of SmackDown is that sometimes the wrestling doesn't feel important. It plays second fiddle to ad breaks and promo stuff. This show, I felt, had that right balance of in-ring promos and segments and matches being given time. So I love the Nikki Cross stuff as well. It's hard to find anything that's truly negative about this show.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Well, that's why I wouldn't give it like an Ellsworthy or something. But anyway.
But I'm the negative one. I mean, let's be honest. Everyone has just skipped ahead of the SmackDown review because they want to hear your funny Annie Jackson story.
It's not. I find it funny. So, of course, I don't know how.
Is this about the picture he ordered?
Oh, God. Technically, there's three funny ones then, but maybe we should roll them out. It's just.
It's our new segment.
So, I don't know how open we've been about this, but Andy Datson, current WrestleTalk website writer, we've been able to take him on as an employee.
The boyhood dream has come true for Andy Datson.
He started, well, I guess 2 weeks ago today, and he, thankfully, because just 3 days after he started, you and Laurie were on holiday, and me and him had to do the Evolution review together. That's why it was me and Andy on that. And there's something about him that makes me laugh. And you went home last night, and me and him were sort of closing up shop. And he just, I swear we weren't even really talking about it. But he just went, I've got a really good voice. And I said, what's he go to? Oops, Steve Austin's taken a bump. Sorry. I was like, well, what's he go to karaoke song then? The reason I tell
you. Does he mean singing voice then?
Singing voice.
I thought he just meant comma general. I've got a really good voice, comma general. Put me on some podcasts.
No, because he would do something like that. One of the reasons I like telling these stories as well is because Andy listens to these. And I will just go back into the office and then he'll, you know, several hours later, what are you talking about me on the podcast? So he just said he's got a great voice.
He said, "I goes, oh, what was the question?" And I was like, "Oh, you're here on the podcast." And he goes, I've got time to listen to that podcast. I'm like, yeah,
you're a smart,
such a mark. You're definitely going to listen.
You love us. So he, I said, "Well, what's your go-to karaoke song then? If you're at a bar," and he said, "Hurt by Johnny Cash."
Big song.
That's a mood killer.
I was going to say, like, not big as in that you need an incredible voice to sing, although Johnny Cash obviously has got an incredible voice, but you need to carry the emotion that is in that song because...
My sweetest friend.
Well, exactly. Like, if you did that, that does not carry across the emotion.
Everyone I know goes away.
in the end. Again, that doesn't carry across the emotion of that song, of a man who is at the end of his life and is looking back on his past and is almost regretting decisions that he has made. Oh, that song, my wife has asked me to just take it off our playlist because it's too much. She cries every time she hears it. Mm. Granted, it was when we had gone to get our life insurance sorted out, and that is a meeting you have to do before you get buy a house. And
you don't have to.
It's advised that you do, and I would also, if you're buying a house, I would also advise that you do, because should something terrible happen to one of you, you are then left with the burden of doing the whole mortgage on your own. So we had to go and do this thing, and that is essentially a meeting where you spend an hour talking about whether your loved one is going to die or what will happen if your loved one dies. And so
it's how I start every morning.
It is like a gut punch. Like, it's a bit horrible. And then the first song we heard in the car was Johnny Cash's Hurt, and it's a flood of tears. And we're like, that can't be on the playlist anymore. So it's had to come off. What an amazing song. Anyway, sorry, I railroaded that conversation.
It's a great song. But now, and I was like, we'll sing a bit for him.
No!
He wouldn't do it. Oh. So I'm hoping if we all collectively pressure Andy.
At the Prince Charles!
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that. I was going to say, because I said, hey, TLC is in December. And last year, me and Luke had a lot of fun doing the TLC No Scrubs cover.
Which I thought we did very well.
Yeah, and we want to do Waterfall this year. Mm-hmm. Waterfalls, sorry. You've been learning the rap.
You say I've been learning. I said I'm going to. I haven't done so yet.
Yesterday. That's all I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's pressure him.
Yeah, let's definitely
pressure him. He said also anything by Andrea Bocelli.
Which the is opera singer?
Yeah, like the sort of Italian pop opera singer.
The one that's in Step Brothers. Yeah, I know the one.
So, by those two examples, sounds like he's got a ridiculously deep voice.
Well, yeah, but this is Andy Datson, though, isn't it?
Like, that's not the impression I would get.
No, absolutely not. Looking at him, absolutely, you wouldn't think that he is like, hey, man, can you sing some Johnny Cash?
Yeah, I sung to him a lot when he told me to try and ease him into it, but he wouldn't sing back.
Yeah. I was watching The X Factor quite recently.
Luke Owen! Molly Scott! Molly Scott's got the best name of them all.
Is she on The X Factor?
Yeah, she's a contestant.
Oh, I'll be honest. As much as I say I've watched The X Factor recently, we were looking for something to just be on, and it was that. And so I haven't really seen anything of it. I can't tell you. Although, one of them is from my hometown. Not my hometown, as in like where I currently live. There was like the 17-year-old that was like in the sing-off or whatever it was. And he sang a Radiohead song.
Oh, he murdered it. Was this last? This was High and Dry?
Yeah, he sang High and Dry.
Oh, I hated that version.
And I turned to my wife and I was like, he is someone who just does not understand what this song is.
Yeah.
Like, he is singing it very well, but that does not mean he gets this song.
He's like, oh, I've heard this song. I'm going to technically riff on it, yes, but I don't know what the words mean.
Nope, and I've got no connection to it whatsoever.
I hated it.
My wife said, oh yeah, he sang, like in one of the auditions, Nothing Compares to You. Like that amazing Sinead O'Connor song. It's like, arguably, it's one of the best songs Prince ever wrote. And I think it's an absolutely incredible song. And I was like, he will have absolutely no idea what Sinead O'Connor or Prince were talking about with that song. And he would have just been like, I can sing this very well.
Mm.
And I'm getting that with Andy Datson now. Like, just like, it's like, yeah, I'm sure you can sing it, but you don't know what it means, though.
Oh, I think he's lived through stuff. So the other
university.
The other Andy Datson story is that in the UK, folks, over the weekend, there was a bit of a national mainstream story where there was a big bouncy castle slide. There was some form of problem with it, and it slowly deflated or something. A couple of kids were reportedly injured. And
I actually didn't hear about this.
Oh yeah, so I heard about it when it happened, and I was like, oh, that sucks. And on Monday, Andy comes in, biggest smile on his face.
The door flew open as he came into the office.
He's like the cat that got the catnip. And he walks in and he goes, guess he was on all the TV stations over the weekend. He had somehow been around this area when it happened. And BBC, ITV, Sky News all did interviews with him.
Yep.
And he had to just do like these 3-minute bits to each one. He even went back the next day to do more on-site interviews with news stations. He didn't mention WrestleTalk once.
No. But thankfully, he is Captain Charisma, so the interviews came across really well.
And he sang at the end.
Before we get out of here, let's have a quick WrestleTalk Get Better from Magnus McKay. What an amazing name that is. Hey, Luke, Ollie and Laurie, I just want to say thank you. Thanks to Get Better, I've gone from 24 stone to 14 stone.
Holy moly, that's a person. You just lost a person of weight.
I've now run 4 marathons and next week will be running my second 6-hour run. And that's on the 10th of November. You've got to run for 6 hours. The winner gets the furthest.
I've never heard of that.
That's a really interesting concept, actually. So good luck with that. You also helped me pursue my dreams, and I now look after the Nordics, Sweden, Finland, Norway, and Denmark's IT for a multinational. You helped me take the plunge and apply for a job I didn't think possible. You're always welcome for a beer in Gothenburg. I was born here but raised in Scotland. So a huge thank you to all three. You can name me if you wish to. MVH. That's from Magnus McKay.
So, I always forget about that sort of Nordic Scottish crossover. They're so close together at the top.
So where is Gothenburg? I've mentioned on the show before, but I absolutely love Sweden. And I would like... It's in Sweden! So let's definitely go there then. It is the fifth largest in the Nordic countries.
It sounds like he's got such a high-paid job he could pay for us to come and see.
Absolutely. But here is the before and after pictures. That was him before, and this is him afterwards.
Oh, he looks like your friend David Bishop.
He does look like David Bishop, actually, doesn't he? Yeah.
Wow, that is incredible. I'm so proud of you.
Absolutely. That's him after running a 10K run in just under an hour.
Wait, when did we start? Like, when did we start doing WrestleTalk Get Better?
Money in the Bank.
He hasn't done all this in 6 months, has he?
Lost essentially 10 stone in six months.
In 6 months, yeah.
I think he might have been doing something before
that. Beforehand. Yeah. We were to use a Dixie Carterism. Hulk Hogan was the rocket fuel that TNA need. We were the rocket fuel.
Absolutely, yeah. Should we have a quick joke before we get out of here, though?
Very quick.
Obviously, very quick. So, this comes in from Paul Robinson. Apparently, it says Robinson.
Not the scary one.
Robinson. Yeah, hopefully not. It's from that one. But he is from Washington. What kind of fish is best educated?
School of fish?
The sturgeon. Because I guess it sounds a bit like surgeon. Why is the sturgeon so smart? Because he grew up in a school. So you were kind of there with your first one.
I was thinking too far ahead.
What did the fish say when he ran into a wall? Damn.
That's good.
Yeah. Why are forests not family friendly? Because they are full of damned lakes full of based bastards. Bastards. As in the fish, bass. Hope you got a chuckle out of these. We didn't. Do people in Dubai watch the Flintstones? No, but the people in Abu Dhabi do! That's from Josh Griebert, so we had to save that one there. But thank you very much for tuning in to today's episode of the Wrestle Ramble podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with the NXT review, and then we're going to be back... then we're back on Saturday for the Wrestle Ramble magazine show. And, big news, the return of Fantasy Booking Warfare.
It's a new format, folks. Be prepared for change. And hate it anyway.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.